what I've been getting.
Well, AJ's got one brand.
Do you want a bottle of water?
A bottle of water?
Water. Jen, do you want a bottle of water? Okay.
Do you know what this is?
Nope, I don't know that.
What is it, AJ?
It says operation can be complete, Dominion Air, no.
So, have you tried uninstalling the app and reinstalling it?
I just put it on my phone.
Or you could do that. It could work there.
Is this Dropbox?
Yeah. Do you have a problem with yours?
I was able to get in, but I found out that poor Kentlove, he actually cut me off, and I was going like, I can't get into it.
So Luke had mentioned something about Google Drive.
I was going to say, would any of us be opposed to change?
I'm not opposed to anything that does it better.
To
change from Dropbox to
Google
Drive.
Whatever.
Whatever
I can't
works.
I can't hardly Dropbox.
So have you guys been giving me your new email?
Yes. But I have sent mine to the league twice, and they have not switched it over. And I still get my stuff on. I did finally get something
on the ManTiCity@gmail.com.
Yeah. No. It's all coming at the ManTiCity@gmail.com.
I know.
My
I feel like you're one of those big banquet tables, you know, where I'm eating or whatever.
Yeah. Email. Everything else has been going to my very desktop.
So my .gov email, I need to figure out how I can get it on my phone and on my iPad, because my attempts thus far have been unsuccessful.
It
kicks me off.
Can you help me get it on here? I can't.
Same thing, just got to go to your settings. I can do your iPhone.
I
don't know how to run my phone.
Does the .gov?
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll let you help me.
You can have your account on.
I'm the one that always has to be reminded. I just thought I'd tell you. Mary Pius usually reminds me to turn the mic on.
And then you have to talk right into it.
Yes.
You've got to have the mouth right.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, it's not good.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes to go before we start.
Yep. Yeah, we can switch to a real size shop. I haven't been to Ocean Hill. Yeah. Kind of.
Thank you all for coming.
Sits on the back row.
All right, the hour has arrived for us to begin the ManTi City Council meeting of February 4th, 2026, 6:30 p.m. Thank you all for being here. Doing the roll call, all council members are present. Brian Francois, Jen Christiansen, A.J. Maurer, myself, I'm not a council member, Mary Pipes, Megan Johnson, and our city staff. We are glad that you're all here. Thank you. To begin, we will have a prayer offered by Brian Francois, and then Megan Johnson will offer the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Father in Heaven, we're so grateful to gather together in this city council meeting. We're grateful for the privilege that we have to serve and also to be a part of this great community. We ask that Thou might bless us, that we would do everything that we can in order to bless those individuals that reside in this community and provide all of the necessary services that are needed and everything that would bring a wonderful quality of life. We're grateful for snow that we have received, and Father, we need it in the mountains. We need it in great abundance. And we recognize there's a storm coming this next week. We pray that it will drop snow and there will be more to come. We ask that Thy Spirit would be with us this evening as we conduct the business of this great city. And we say this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So the first item on our agenda, which will be every time we do council, is just any declaration of conflicts of personal interest with any agenda item. Does anyone have anything to note? Seeing none, we will move forward. Thank you. The approval of the council meeting minutes of January 21st, 2026. Are there any corrections or comments about those minutes?
Yeah, thank you again. Under Inland Court, it says Family Dollar Store instead of Dollar General. We probably better call them by their right name.
Good catch, Joy. Good catch. Thank you. Yeah, the two picky people, we didn't notice it.
It's not the Family Dollar.
Thank you. Once upon a time, but yes, yeah. Thank you very much. All right. Any other corrections? Any other discussion? Seeing none, I will accept a motion to approve the minutes as corrected, noted by Jen.
I'll make that motion to accept them with the correction.
Thank you, Jen.
I'll second it.
Motion made by Jen Christiansen, seconded by. That's hard to say. Seconded by Brian Francois. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? With that, the motion passes. Thank you. Item number three, capital improvements projects discussion. And Jason, our city manager, I think will probably help us out with this discussion. Jason?
You bet. So, getting with our superintendents and just hearing what projects we have that we're looking at, I thought it would be important to bring these to the council's attention and add any additional projects that have been discussed that I may be unaware of that we need to add to our ongoing list. So starting with water, we've got the water treatment plant, which is currently in design. We anticipate going to construction early summer on the project. We already have the funding for that project, and that's an approximate $8 million project. There is a water line that needs to be replaced, and a PRV, pressure reducing station, needs to be upgraded, located on 600 South. And we've got some aging spring lines up on the mountain. Corey and I will go look at some of those this summer and see about a plan of attack to address those critical infrastructure needs. Now, as far as any other culinary water system improvements, you know, we anticipate as we continue to grow that a water tank may be in order, and we'll do an analysis on that with our engineers. But is the council aware of any other water system improvement projects that we may need.
AJ, you'd have the best info if you have any other.
Yeah, that's the ones I've always heard.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. And our wastewater sewer system, we have a sewer lagoon rehab that needs to take place. We've got a sewer mainline replacement. The analysis through the feasibility study on the sewer system indicates that we've got an undersized mainline on 800 South and 100 East that we've got to address. We're watching that, depending on how the growth continues to impact those lines. That one may need to be moved to the high priority. We'll just keep an eye on those. Corey's doing a good job monitoring those.
Thanks. Jason, 800 South, would that be out by the jail?
800 South, 100 East.
Sorry. Did I say 800 South? I'm ahead of North.
Okay. All right. Okay. There you go.
Okay. That. Yep.
Wherever is behind me,
that
way.
Perfect. That makes sense.
North.
Yeah.
Up past the cemetery.
Right.
All the way to the sewer mains.
Right. Okay. That's our main one.
Yep.
And then one of the critical components as we allow sewage into the sewer lagoons is getting an auger system and getting the debris cleaned out of the lagoon. I've already looked at Gunnison's system. I've looked at the one that is in Morgan. And I know Salina has a new system. They all have very similar systems that we will look at and compare. But I think that's probably going to be one we're going to need relatively quickly.
By the way, are those other communities still having all sorts of problems with the non-flushable wipes clogging up their systems?
Yes, those flushable wipes are not disposable in the sewer system.
No.
And they do bind up the muffin monsters, the grinders. They can cause serious impact. So, folks, pass the word along. Those are not flushable. They are not good for sewer systems.
Is there a way that we can maybe meet up with either the radio station, the messenger, whatever that it might be, for a public service announcement that could go in so that we can try to get that word out as broadly as possible and maybe hit it, you know, a few times in the year, once a quarter or something like that, to just get that into the minds of the individuals?
Yes, we can go through all those advertising, notification, you know, avenues to post that information.
Perfect.
Yep. On our next item is our roads and streets. We've got a few projects listed here. Widening and paving of 850 north of the cemetery, which would include a new center access, a new access on the north that would line up with the road that goes to Dollar General. And also included with that is part of the bike path, which would go along 500 west and 800 north. And then on the south side of 850 north, bypassing the cemetery. We've got our safe sidewalk project, which is in design. I've got a meeting with UDOT and our engineer on March 9th. That's when we're going to schedule that. And it anticipates that we will get accomplished 2.5 blocks of sidewalk through this funding cycle. As mentioned, the bike path, we've already had a preliminary design review with Jones and Mail. We officially can't design until after October when the funding cycle from UDOT comes in to be. So we're kind of on a standstill, but we can prepare ahead on our side. We need to do some repairs to City Creek along between 200 and 400 north. Corey's kept me appraised on that, just maintenance repairs. grocery store. We need to keep going with that. We've got to wait for warmer weather to get some asphalt and clean the asphalt up against the brick. And I think we'll have more discussion on that as we move forward on what displays we want the council would like to see there. We'll have that discussion as we get closer to certain days of the year events. In our public works department.
Wait, before we move on.
Sure.
On roads and streets, would this be an appropriate place for us to put something in about our street signs, trying to bring them up to a single standard?
You bet.
Okay.
Now, please, this is a discussion. We need to know what projects are foreseen. That's a good one. Brian, thank you.
You're welcome.
I do know, I was just thinking, this is the street that goes north behind Family Dollar. That's only half of it paved.
Dollar General.
Can you write that in the minutes now so we don't have to do it?
It was probably my fault last time. Oh, heaven. Sorry. Behind the Dollar General, the road that's west of Dollar General that is only halfway paved, Corey did mention if at any time we had extra money or road funds that we could make that road ourselves, make it a whole, the whole width, just so it's a better...
Is that going into the ball field?
Into the ball field. Okay. I mean, because there's a lot of traffic in and out of the ball field, and that was the part of the issue, and to have it completely finished instead of just half of it might be a good priority. But anyway. Thoughts?
Especially if people are driving on the edge and then that causes failure.
Does more damage, I guess.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we will be improving on is our planning. And as we get into summer, we will be doing an analysis on all the city streets and doing a 7-year plan. We hope to be able to include all city street improvements, chip seal projects, and do a 7-year plan rotation. Obviously, budget constraints play a big part in that, and you try not to go beyond 7 years if you can handle that. But no more than 10, we can budget accordingly. So we'll do an analysis on all of our streets and see how we can fit that into getting those maintained. I know the guys have done a good job this last year or so. Corey mentioned that a lot of the funding went to 500, it was 500 West or 600 West, to get some of those roads paved. We want to do a complete analysis of all the city streets.
Jason, I don't know if this is if this would go into this area or not. But what about the parking lot behind the senior center? Is that something that would be included in any of these? And if so, where might it go?
Yeah, that's probably a good place to put it. That or Public Works. I mean, it is a parking lot, and we do have some challenges, as Brian and I have looked at that with neighboring property owners that we hope to address in the coming months and see if we can do a collaborative parking lot.
Right. But if that's something that can be added, if you could add that on wherever you think that is appropriate, that way it's got visibility.
Any other projects anybody can foresee?
Question the trees on Main Street that are going to start lifting the sidewalks. It's pretty rude to start causing damage. So at some point, we're going to have to address what we want to do to Main Street.
Yeah, ongoing maintenance, right? Trees never stay low.
Well, some of those trees have a lot of dead wood in them, too. So.
And if you notice today, the guys have been out cleaning those up and trimming those on Main Street.
Right.
Jason, I don't know if this is included on here somewhere, but about 5 years ago, I think, I applied for a Get Healthy Utah grant, and they awarded us $8,000, which was to be put on a walking path, and we didn't do it because of the development that Temple View, or whatever it's called, the All Red development on the north side of the temple, because they were going to dig through where we would have been putting a walking path if we put something for a sewer line connection and other stuff. And so it hasn't, nothing has happened on that. So I think we want to make sure that we at least do the part of the funds that were provided to us on that condition a few years back. And there were drawings. I've got them in my computer if I need to share those with you. They had planned for expansion so that there'd be a walking path
around
the ball field. Yeah.
It's under Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have
it. Is it there?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
It's been on there for a long time.
Yeah.
As we look at our public works department, we know the equipment wears out and ages, and we anticipate getting a new backhoe. There are programs that allow for municipalities to do trade-ins, 300 and 600 hours of usage. So we'll be looking at those with the various suppliers of backhoe equipment. Our public works building that the city purchased, the building from Larry Lund, we anticipate getting some engineering on that so we can look at getting that erected.
Is that this year, Jason, we're planning that?
Well, we've had that sitting there for how long?
Well, that's what I wonder. We had it scheduled to go in last year.
Yeah.
We approved that. I just didn't know what your thoughts were, I guess.
Yeah, we're looking at some engineering costs because that building is unique and we don't have any drawings of it. We've got to do some extensive engineering to make sure it complies with building codes. So we're going to have to come and have an engineer do an analysis on what the existing steel is. It's not a uniform steel.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some challenges there. We've already talked to a couple different engineers to come look at that and give us an estimate on what the engineering cost would be.
Perfect. Thank you.
So we hope to get that moving along and just instead of sitting up in the dirt. As you know, all of these projects are costly, and we just need to evaluate where the best resources are and needs for each situation. And that's why a lot of the reasons we have you folks to make those determinations on how we had, you know, obviously input from our power superintendent and our public works director on those critical infrastructure needs. Those we need to look at very seriously.
Yeah.
As we look in the cemetery, I mentioned earlier, cemetery roads, that north entrance into the cemetery, we want to make that a little bit safer so there's not an offset. So we'll be bringing, you know, some drawings forward to look at that with the council. Sprinkler system improvements, cemetery shed for equipment, etc. Most of these projects have come from our superintendents. And as you mentioned, Mayor, the walking path, we've gone, Luke and I have walked around ball fields. We still have some issues with the secondary irrigation line blowing apart on the corner where it turns. And so we're hoping that the irrigation company has got that resolved. It's like blown apart 3 times already. Or 3 or 4, I don't know, a number of times. So we'll look at that. But we're moving forward with the sidewalk. We applied for a very large recreational grant. Luke got that submitted last week.
Great.
As we look at additional, you know, features in the community. We've talked about the Duncan Hill Trails projects. And we've got a proposal from the county that we're evaluating on a staff level that we'll bring to the attention of the council and the community. But we're also looking at, you know, how can we make it not just a walking trail, but is there park options either on the top of the hill, at the bottom, on that southeast side? We're trying to evaluate some of those to make sure that we can get a park, open space on the east side, so a lot of kids don't have to cross back and forth Main Street to go to the parks. So we're trying to create some ideas for open spaces there.
Real quick, Jason, I think the county had heard somewhere that they have some money dedicated that they have to do something for a green space.
Yeah.
They call it. So maybe this could be putting in some green space up there with that money, because they lose it if they don't use it. It's a kickback they've got from the state somewhere on taxes or, you know, with the ear tag of a green space. So maybe we could ask...
Have been in communication with Kevin?
With Kevin.
Yeah.
Maybe we can ask Kevin. I just heard about it the other day that there's some green space money they need to spend and some ideas, and it might be just putting it right here in the county seat, making a park or something, to go along with the trail system. I don't know. Thought.
That funding is kind of match funding. What I understand is we could participate 50-50 on that and do a substantial trail. So he's thrown that proposal at me, and we'll get that to the council and look at it. Then Corey indicated upgrades or a new dog pound for our guys. We're just evaluating that as we need. And then a significant amount of electrical component improvements to our power grid. Highest priority is the 46 kV breaker. The guys are working on, and you've seen the frame going up. Well, the guys are working on that as they keep going. We've got a grant for part of that funding on that to get that installed. I just want to highlight down here at the bottom, we have a new substation that we will more than likely need in 5 years. Blake has done an analysis on the grid system, and we know that those are not cheap. So we're looking at a cost of about $3 million on that one. But I do want to highlight that, because that is a critical infrastructure for the community. We've got reclosers we're changing out. We've got fuses to be changed. Power pole replacements. The one they're working on right now is the Gitinas 300 East. And then you can see the relocation of transformers that are in the middle of the block, trying to get those all pulled out to the street so we can have better access to those. As folks well know, a lot of those power infrastructures are getting pinched into the block and we can't get access to them without some significant work. And we've got to minimize that for the accessibility to those. So right now, those are some of the projects that we've got listed. And we know that we've got to do some sidewalk improvements on Main Street. So we're here to brainstorm and ask the council, what other projects do you foresee? Now, this can be an ongoing discussion. This is just a first presentation of what we see in the horizon.
And I certainly think these look like some of the most critical needs. And as they always say, you've got to put your priorities and budget for those to make sure that your electricity still comes on and the water still runs and the sewage still goes away where it's supposed to and the roads. Those are the most essential services. That's why we exist.
Now, mind you, part of that list needs to include economic development. We have the South Industrial Park property that the city owns. If folks have seen recently, the National Guard is doing more activity out there. We're getting word that they may be moving towards design of a structure to be out there. So that's not on our list because we've got to do some infrastructure upgrades to extend utilities, mainly the water line, about 450 feet. So we've got some things that are coming down that may come down quicker on economic development. We've been discussing with them in port and some potential projects for the community. One of those may include an assisted living center. Just anything that kind of fits our criteria for development we're looking at.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that.
Oh, one more thing. Sorry, Mayor. The pedestrian light crossing for 400 North, we finally have a date for discussion with UDOT. So they're going to be addressing one for Gunnison, Manti, and Ephraim here next month. So hopefully we can move forward with something to call.
Super.
Would that be a good time to discuss the speed limit coming into town, maybe slowing it down a little bit more prior to Dollar General and All Red development? And then also, I know that there was discussion about bringing in one of those metered speed lights that would let people know this is the speed, this is what you're doing, slow down.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
I think it'll include all of the same route from UDOT.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those discussions, if you've seen those going about through some emails, as I've been trying to chase down those leads, we are making some progress on those. It sounds like March is our kind of big communication month with you for those three items.
Perfect.
Anything else? Okay, we will move on to the agenda item number 4, discussion of city-sponsored events. Does anyone have some input, or Jason, do you have anything you want to say to lead off?
Well, I just started listing everything that I was aware of. I'm sure I've missed a few things.
I have one correction.
Only one?
Only one. No, that's good. The Utah Tiger Experience concert on July 25th is probably going to be 7:30 p.m., not 7:30 a.m.
Oh,
darn. I know.
So I have a typo. Okay.
You know. I mean, I get up for watching that.
That's why we're here, right? Let's discuss my typing.
They would wake you up at that hour for sure.
So I spoke to Luke earlier today, and I know his plan was to try to be here to address
him. Yeah, he's in transit.
But he's tied up and running late, so.
I was wondering about the 4th of July. If we have no water, we're probably not going to have a fireworks show.
You know, it's not
about that. I know, but are we going to have a plan B, or are we just...
Jason says we're having it.
We're having it.
I'm sorry.
You guys need fireworks.
We've already ordered them. They've already been paid.
It's the 250th birthday.
I know.
If we blow up big.
So we expect you to do a heck of a rain dance. Different than your snow dance.
Okay.
The rain will come.
I think if there needs to be some restriction, it would probably be on personal fireworks. If climate conditions are really dicey, then because when we do the city fireworks, we have all the fire people standing by, and it's over there in the cemetery where it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
we'll be good.
Yeah, Elliot and I have already spoke about that. He's concerned and aware, and we'll just take the precautions that are necessary depending on what restrictions the state will impose on fireworks this year.
And they could.
And they'll be coming. But the council can also designate areas to light those off so the public can, you know, if it's not an undue risk.
I was just curious on the ATV run. They were a big project for Kent and Joanne. Yeah. Michelle's still here. But those two were a big part of those. Mm-hmm. We've talked in the past of maybe doing things differently, having the lunch catered, or I don't know if we're still going to have Kent involved in running it, because he was kind of in charge of that activity. I didn't know how that was going to pass on just to you, and you're now in charge.
Jen, thanks for bringing it up, because especially as I look at the July schedule, I mean, the week of the 4th, we're trying to pull out all the stops to make that an America 250, and I think to do an ATV the following week is going to kill everybody up.
Oh, I don't think you could not do it, because I think the dates are already out there and everything.
Oh.
Well, I think this city runs back-to-back on every activity we do.
All
we go from Rat Fink kicking it off to this. I mean, there's with pageant. I mean, you think with pageant, we were running, and that just,
you know, the great thing about projects like this and activities is the whole idea is to get people into the community, to spend a dollar in our community, and help benefit our businesses, which ultimately benefits the city as a whole.
Absolutely.
So we do need to evaluate what is appropriate. You know, is it cost prohibitive to do some of these activities? Obviously, Matt and I are the new guys, but we're looking at actually past data to see what the financial benefit, if there is one. I believe that there is. I just don't know what that looks like yet. But historically, the city has had the July ATV run and the September one. So we're evaluating that. We have, you know, Luke would be a great resource to help manage that as well.
Yes. He's been heavily involved.
It's probably different people that will be running the 4th of July than are doing this. And you know what?
Yes.
This is close enough together. You could promote this as a package, right? Come to a small town, enjoy the 4th of July, stay for a couple of days, enjoy our community, and then do the ATV run.
Actually, they do come in early, before the run and stay after.
Right.
So that's very possible for him. Yeah, they do.
And promote it as a package, and maybe we do something special to make that happen, which makes America 250 bigger here too, right?
Just so the city staff survive dealing with both of them.
And we recognize the summertime is busy, right? And honestly, we need it to be busy. Because we want all the individuals that can come and visit and spend a dollar here,
right.
That helps us economically. So we need to evaluate all that we do, budget accordingly. Some of those are Easter egg hunt. You know, those folks put on what I hear is a great event. You know, they're always, you know, nothing ever lowers in cost. And so, you know, they're requesting additional dollars for their budget. So we need to just make sure we're smart in how we budget all of the things that we want to do. And, you know, it's a tremendous asset to have individuals who will spend their time to help promote the community. And, you know, volunteerism, it's a challenge anymore. But my intent was just to show the council everything that we have going on. A lot of what's listed actually comes from Luke and our rec programs that we offer, and or the events that are coming to the ball fields for tournaments. We've got those listed. I know this has been in your packet to look at. You know, spring soccer coming up. Registration, I think, is already ongoing. We've got a tournament the 28th and 29th. Registration will end February 27th. The Manti Field Day, which is March 11th. So we've got a lot of activities to hopefully help promote the kids in the community as well. April 4th, Easter egg hunt. We've got a men's spring softball league. We've got spring pickleball. We've got an American fast pitch softball tournament. In Maine, we've got the Cinco de Mayo softball tournament. We've got the corrections week for the family day tournament. We've got another fast pitch tournament. City recreation leagues with softball and baseball. June, it doesn't slow down. So June, we jump into Rat Pink, the Summer Slam. We've got the San Pete Kindness Tournament, Father's Day Tournament, Movies in the Park. I may not have the dates correct. I tried to guesstimate if I didn't know those to where they were last year. You've got the additional summer pickleball leagues. You've got a D1 accelerated softball league. And then we come to July, we've got the 4th of July celebration, the Manti PD run, the Tyco experience, which that sounds like it's going to get even bigger. He's looking for a place here in Manti that he can have a building to do more classes and trainings and more experiences here in the community. Mm-hmm. We've got the Midnight Mammoths tournament. We've got another movie in the park in July, more Mammoths tournaments and shootouts, and the Tyco experience at 7:30 p.m., Mary.
Yeah.
We've got fall soccer, Santa County Fair, fall pickleball, another D1 Dash for Cash softball tournament. Sorry, I guess I have a pair of flights. Sorry about that. Fast pitch again. So more activities for Luke. There's a One Nation tournament. I'm not really familiar with what that one is. Looks like it's new this year. Another fast pitch tournament. Flag football in September. Another ATV run. Another One Nation tournament, more fast pitch tournaments, a D1 zombie ball, that sounds cool. And then obviously basketball, Halloween festival as we approach winter, holiday pickleball leagues, Christmas light parade, et cetera, et cetera. So are there activities that I don't have listed that you're aware of? And do you want to talk about any of these specifically?
Can I just bring up, we have a lot on here of parking in the fairgrounds, like RV parking. Now that we have an RV park back in function, I wonder if we can't help support them a little bit where they're in our community too. I mean, in the past, I know we haven't had much out there. They haven't been open, but I think they're open still, I guess. I think it'd be wise to try to push some business their way. I mean, they're part of the city, and not just the fairgrounds too. Is kind of how I feel. Get them support our businesses here on every level.
Yeah, most of those, that Luke had mentioned, that a lot of the parents bringing their kids to the tournament have requested that be available. That way, their kids don't have to cross Highway 89 while that midnight tournament is going on. Yeah. We'll evaluate that. Just
perfect.
Those are largely for
overnighters.
All-dayers.
The all-dayers. But like on the RV, like when our people come for ATV riding and stuff, in the past we've kind of let them camp out there, but I think, if we can kick them to our businesses and support what we have here, on another level, but I think, to try to promote that or For the overnight stuff like the ATV, I understand the day stuff and the kids and, you know, doing it that way, but the other stuff, maybe we can help promote it.
Yeah, we definitely want to promote the trailer park. I know Luke has spoken with them.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they're under new ownership in the last
year
or two. I have not met those folks yet. Definitely want to have a good communication with them. And we do want to send everybody that we can. We'd love to fill the park up.
And I have met with them and gotten to know them out there, and they are getting some traction on reservations, and they're getting some good reviews, which is also, you know, a good thing when people are looking for a place to camp. So I think they're ticking upward, but anything we can do to promote it, I'm sure will help. The other thing with these softball tournaments, you know, those are people that come in out of town that are not from here. They come from all over the place. And, you know, we ought to try to think something, Travis, you know, for getting the people to eat. I know you probably get overloaded sometimes with some of these people, maybe not. But we should figure out a way that we can advertise at these tournaments for the restaurants that we have in town and things that would be appropriate for them to take advantage of, to let them know, right? Some ambassadors, because otherwise they're going to just drive north up to Ephraim and they're going to drop all their money there. And we'd like to get as much as we can here.
Any other discussion on the events at this point?
I'm assuming, Jason, we're at least the cost anticipated. Is that what we charged that group to use the facility for those tournaments?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, those were group numbers from last year.
Okay.
I just wanted you to be aware of that.
Yeah, what the money we're bringing in for those tournaments.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, those are field rentals.
Okay. If no additional discussion, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is South Stampede School District, the request for support of the South Stampede District Schools. Is there any discussion on that you would like to talk about?
So I called Karen Soper. Charter schools, this is because of a charter school that's being requested. I think it's an American Preparatory Academy, which there are several of them up north in Draper and West Valley and such. I know there's a charter school in Ephraim right now, but it's really kind of a non-issue. It's a blended school that really kind of supports homeschoolers, right? It gives the homeschool kids an opportunity to go into a classroom situation a day or two a week, which gives them, you know, a feel for being in a class. The problem is that a charter school comes in, it's new, it's shiny, they're popular, and the problem is our students, and of course we can't decide whether that thing's coming in or not. All we can do is say, hey, we support you deciding not to put it in. With the student body that we have right now in South Stampede, particularly Ephraim and Manti, which is where it would mostly negatively affect, they, according to Principal Soper, there's a potential that the student body would drop sufficient enough that they would have to lay teachers off, that it would negatively impact that school, and of course the funding that the school gets. Charter schools are not bad, but the timing may not be good. As the population grows and you've got these townhomes that are going up in Ephraim and there's more population come in and more kids, it might be more appropriate at a later time for that to occur, right? To give people a choice, because we're all about choice, right? We want to have the ability to choose where we want to send our kids. But timing is everything in this. And when there's a greater population to support it, then the impact on the public schools won't be as dramatic, because what will happen is you'll have families that will put their kids in that charter school, and then their friends are going to say, wait a minute, I want to go to that school too, because my friends are going to be going there. And before you know it, you've just got this domino effect of people that are vacating the public schools for that. So I personally think we should, you know, it's just a letter that's supporting maybe postponing that. And I think that we should do that. I don't think the timing's right. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't think it's the right time for it.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
I talked to someone from the South Tempe School District. It is not going to affect the high school. The understanding is it's going to be a K through 8th grade. So my problem with this whole thing right now is that nobody really knows what's going on. All the information is secondhand or thirdhand at best. There's a lot of speculation about what's going to happen. I'm all for choice too, as well. You know, and I agree that we need to support our public schools, but I don't know that I have enough information. I've sweat this for 3 days now, trying to find out what I could about American Preparatory Academy, about the whole thing, and I'm just not sure that I have enough information to where I'm comfortable saying yes or no. I'm kind of at the point where I'm neutral on it, because I don't want to say I support this letter and then find out that I didn't understand the situation. So I'm really uncomfortable with doing it at this point.
See, and I heard it was K through 12, so there's some...
See, so that's just what I'm saying. Yeah. Nobody knows exactly. Everybody is, well, I've heard this, and I've heard this, and I've heard this, and I'm not a fan of making a decision unless I really have all the facts. And that's just where I'm at. Go for it,
AJ.
Devil number two.
So I talked to Ralph Squire, superintendent, and it is K through 6 is what he told me.
Right.
I think that's as close as you're going to get to.
So that was K through 6?
No, it was K through 6.
K through 6.
Yeah, it is K through 6.
Oh, okay.
That's what Ralph, I just looked back in my chart.
Yeah, K through 6.
I guess the only question I got is, you know, you bring this charter school in, what do they got to give to our community? Our school district gives a lot to our community. Mm-hmm. Our schools give a lot back to our cities. We use their buildings. We use a lot of things. So I kind of wonder what this charter school wants to give back to our community. It's funny, nobody comes from here, sends us emails of their side. You know what I mean? All we're hearing is one side. Like you say, you don't know what you can decide, but
right. There's
nobody asking us to support it. You know what I mean? Like, why is nobody here? Why has it all been like the last minute deal and it's going through this week or whatever, you know?
Okay, mostly because it's not, number one, not in our community. Not going to be in our community. It's going to be in Ephraim.
But you would think they would want support from surrounding communities that it would help affect.
So, wait, it's already coming?
No.
We don't know that. That's the problem.
Okay.
I talked to a gentleman that was here in Manhattan. He was in the public school system. He is now a teacher for a charter school. And he said, Megan, before I worked for a charter school, I would have said absolutely not, but no. He's like, but now that I work for one, he's like, these kids need options. And I get AJ, I think that's a valid point. What are they going to give us? But as a parent, a choice is a lot. I'm not saying I'm with Mary here. I don't have enough information, but that going forward, I too don't know if I want to write a letter saying no, if I don't have all the facts. So I don't know if we can take more time to get the facts, or if it's a done deal. I talked to a lady in Ephraim that works for Ephraim City, and I said, what is this going on? Like, where is this charter school coming? And she said, no, it's in the talk.
It's preliminary.
Yeah.
They're having a board meeting on the 12th of February. The charter school... Charter school application committee
are having a board meeting on the 12th of February, and they're presenting, these people are presenting their idea that are proposing that they want to put the charter school in Ephraim, as well as in Provo. They've got a couple more they want to open.
So if it's K through 6, that would, and it's in Ephraim, would that just impact the elementary?
So what they're thinking, okay, here's the deal, because I did talk to Ralph too, and so they're thinking there are 6,000 students in San Pete County. So they're thinking South San Pete and North San Pete. They're thinking of drawing from the entire county,
mm-hmm.
is what they're thinking. I don't know that that's going to work. I'm kind of
actually,
like...
Actually,
now that I think about it, after I've been reading on charter schools, can they take from two districts?
They can take
them. They can take from any place.
Because the way they put it on their applications and stuff, they have to go to the school district they are in and present their application and their YR4s and enrollment numbers to that specific school district that they're going to be in.
So maybe they're going to do to both of them. I don't know. But
that's another question.
Okay, again, this is information that, that the school district is trying to garner because they don't know what's going on. This is what they're... So I'm just like... And so the problem is that they only do these application systems once a year. So it's kind of like, that's why there's this rush, and I hate being rushed when I don't know all of the facts. And I don't think I have even remotely enough facts
this
to say yes or no.
Privately funded or public?
No, it's public.
It's publicly funded.
Yeah.
It's under the Utah Board of Education, but it's different than the charter
school.
They get the same money from headcount that all the public schools get.
And they have to have, their charter says what their parameters are and how it's to be run and everything else.
And with the numbers they think they're going to get right now, it will kill our public schools, no question.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get the 450 number of kids.
I don't think there's just
so it just doesn't seem.
But that's an unknown.
Exactly.
You know, because it's up to the parents at that point.
Right.
And you know, the other thing that's affecting the public schools, too, is the homeschooling, right? There's a lot of that going on. And that obviously affects numbers because they're not, the schools aren't getting money for that.
And if you look at it, the couple of people that I did talk to about it, there are some homeschool families who would then put their children in the charter school rather than homeschool because they have, you know, it's difficult to homeschool. It's, you know, it takes time. You know, not that they don't want to do the time, a lot of them have jobs and things like that. So there are some. So I don't know that the school district can say, well, we're going to lose all of the kids to this. It might be that there are those who are already not going to the traditional public school who would choose the charter school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See, again, I don't know. There are two.
Well, and the bottom line is, I mean, this is going to be a decision for the Ephraim City Council, ultimately. Right.
No.
Or not.
No.
It's the charter committee.
Yeah,
okay.
The charter
committee.
So
they'll decide.
Yeah.
To do that.
It really doesn't matter what we say.
When it comes down to it, they're going to end up doing whatever they feel is in the best interest.
I mean, I would be comfortable sending a letter saying that we support the public school, but I'm not at the point where I'm to the point where it's like, but I oppose the coming of a charter school because I don't have enough information on that. I mean, if you want to let them know, yeah, we do support our public schools, and we're really grateful for them, and things like that. But I'm not to the point where I'm comfortable saying we oppose the coming of a charter school.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, and I mean, you could even put in the caveat saying, you know, maybe because of the timing, right? Maybe the timing isn't right for it, and maybe they should consider taking a look at some other time down the road as the population grows.
Well, bring up the fact, Mary, that they did approach the school district 5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago they wanted to come to possibly come in, but they wanted to do it with a TIF, which is a tax in lieu of something or other, and it's not a. And the school district looked at the numbers and they're like, "There's no way we can do that." So they told them no. So this
and they dropped it.
Yeah, and they dropped it then. And there may be, and again, because we are talking to this person and that person, and nobody's talked to this person and that person. There may be some other reasons that this charter school is under consideration that have nothing to do with public education, but have to do with other things that are going on in Ephraim City, and so there you go.
Well, one of the things that I read, and of course you have to take all of that with a grain of salt, was I think that the school was kind of being tied into the Ephraim Crossings development. And if I remember what I read, it seemed like the reason that they wanted to promote putting it there was it was a draw to bring people in, right? People to come in to buy these townhomes and say, hey, come in, you've got a charter school here, you've got choices, you know, you've got all this opportunity. So I think what they're trying to do is set the table, right, for the people that are going to be coming in to buy these townhomes and whatever.
But let me ask this, given the discussion, would you be interested in reframing the letter so that it's more of a simple, we support our South Santa Pete Public Schools and the great service that they do for our community.
But stay neutral on
the coming of a
charter school. And they can surmise whatever they want to surmise.
And just have it
from them.
So that they know that we are in support of our public schools and the teachers that are in our communities. So may I ask for a motion to revise the letter to reflect that?
I'll make that motion to revise the letter to support, show them that we do support our current South Sam, that we do support our current South Sam Peak School District and what they do for us, that we do support them.
Second that.
Motion made by AJ and seconded by Megan. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? With that, the motion passes. So let's put together a revamped letter in support of the South San Pete School District without the reference then to a charter school.
Right.
Does that sound good?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Item number 6 is the payment approval report, and you saw that in the packet that Jason had gone through and checked those. Are there any questions or discussion on that item? Jason, do you have anything you want to add?
No, just the bills were checked, reviewed, and we've had 3 eyes on them so far.
Thank you.
No, we have 2 eyes on them. Or 6 eyes on them, sorry, Michelle.
3 eyes.
Some days I only have 1 eye open, I know.
The continuing business items, as listed, are still being worked on.
Did we get an approval on the bills?
Oh.
Nope.
Didn't we, on the cemetery ordinance, wasn't that, didn't we take for that?
We've got to go back.
We're going back to number 6. So, is that because usually we just sign off on them at the end? So, are we doing something different here?
The council should approve those.
Okay.
I know you sign off on them, but you should have a motion to approve them.
All right. Thank you.
I'll make that motion.
Call
that we approve whatever Jason said.
Motion made by Mary Pipes and seconded by AJ Maurer on the approval of the bill payments that was in the packet. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. Oh, thank you. That's why we have Mary. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The motion passes. Going on to continuing business. The items are on there as before. If there's any additional discussion at this point on short-term rentals or annexation subdivision or the cemetery ordinance.
Yeah, so those top 3, didn't we?
Those are all being worked.
They're just okay. There.
So they're just there as
they're just
there.
There
are reminders.
Okay. In case we have anything to get.
Right.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about
this. This is your chance, Brian, that you can't say, well, I didn't know about it.
Yeah. Know about what?
Exactly.
Anything more on the America 250?
We have a meeting with the committee on Monday.
Yeah, we're having Monday meetings with our committee.
And so they're going to give us names for co-chairs, and then we'll bring that to the council so that we can get those on board so they don't have to do all the work themselves.
Perfect.
Great. Thanks.
And if anybody's interested, you can still sign up to do the Walk 250 or the Read 250. I've been doing the Walk 250. I don't know where I'm at. You just put your mileage in. So I even bought myself a Fitbit so I can see.
Perfect.
how far I go.
You can bike to Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah, it can be walking, biking, line dancing, playground. If kids are playing on the playground, they can count that. So there's lots of things that if you...
Can you count it if you watch somebody walk?
They sure. can, but okay. not you.
Okay, thank you. We are moving to item 8. Council member reports. Brian, we'll start with you.
All right. So I wanted to just follow up on the last council meeting. I had talked about the alerting system and TextMyGov and a way that we can communicate with the citizens of Manti if there's an emergency or maybe the power's out and let them know, hey, we expect to be restored by such and such a time or you need to boil water. I had a chance to go and to meet with Neil Johnson, who supervises the 911 operators. And the county subscribes to AlertSense. Mm-hmm. And so we have the opportunity to use this. I just don't know that we use it.
I do.
No, for the alerting. Oh. I mean, we get the alerts, but I mean, we can actually... ask them to send an alert, right? There's no cost to that, by the way, if we do that. And the process is for us, it's just called dispatch and say, hey, you know, we'd love for you to send an alert out to the citizens of Manti. You know, let them know that if power's out, power's going to be restored by whatever, or something's going on, whatever it is. And they'll get the approval and then they'll get that alert out. That can go out either by text or by email. And the great thing is they've got in their database, because most residents have a phone number tied to their property. So they have that in the database. But in the next 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to do a push to invite individuals in the community to give their phone numbers and emails so that they can increase that database and cover a whole lot more. And they can even be surgical in saying, hey, we just need an alert going to the east side or the west side or whatever that it might be. Something recently that they've done in Mount Pleasant, there was a mountain lion, I guess, running around, and they sent an alert out to the residents there to say, hey, just be careful. You know, the mountain lion's been spotted wherever. So when I talked to him, I said, you know, maybe we could come up with some potential alerts that we might use the system for. And let them know so they can vet them and say, yeah, no, those would be good. That would be fine, you know, to do that. And let's start using it, you know, and that will help possibly eliminate some calls into the city offices or whatever, depending on how we want to do that. But anyway, it's there, it's free, and it's simple for us to do it, and they're ready to assist in any way that they can. So there's that. The other thing that I just wanted to bring up, during the campaign, one of the things that was talked about a lot, and I know that I talked and pushed with a lot of people that I talk with, a lot of our citizens would like to have us live stream these council meetings. We have an aging population. There are a lot of people that would love to come to this meeting that can't. We have individuals that, because of kids, that they can't come or whatever that might, they want to feel like they're a part of what's going on. Not only that, by live streaming, it provides an opportunity for the meetings to be archived. So we have individuals that serve in positions in church that they're not able to come or maybe even watch it live, but they'd love to be able to watch it after the fact. And Jason, I don't know, you know, I know we have some staff that are probably capable of throwing that together. It's not a difficult thing to do. I have talked to some individuals in the community that would love to just offer their time to assist in setting up a live streaming, a camera, you know, set up YouTube Live, whatever that might be, for us to be able to do that. So. Anyway, I'd like to throw that out to the council. That's something that we can talk about, that we can try to get done sooner rather than later, because I think that would make a big difference in our community.
Thanks. Anything else, Brian?
Nope.
Jen.
Okay. I'll just piggyback on that with the newsletter thing. I read through the minutes.
Yeah.
It reminded me that we talked about the newsletter. So. And then I got thinking, should we just have, could we have Luke throw up an informal poll maybe on social media just to get it out there and ask if we get any feedback? At least that's something to try and get some, generate some interest to see if we want to continue it, see if we don't want to continue it, if anybody will let us know their feelings about that. And if we do live stream, I think there might not be, I mean, that might cover
it would.
Getting rid of a newsletter.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
possibly.
You know, possibly. That would help with the communication, so it could alleviate the cost of a newsletter. Anyway, I told Mary I would bring that up, so. The other thing is, we have a U City Council interest meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, 7:30 here in the chamber. There's a little flyer. McKay has been a great help to me about, he did the flyer, he's got it on social media, he put it out there on the electronic sign, and he will be here that night. He's wants to be very involved with those kids. Megan's going to come as well. Josie will be out of town that week, but she still is very interested in helping and possibly being the leader if we don't get anybody else to jump up and say they really want to take it over. So we'll just see. We're just going to kind of wing it next week and see what interest we get, see who shows up, and let the kids decide from there, I guess, you know, how they want to handle it, what they want to do. So Eric Peterson down at the school, he got it out on the high school's newsletter, on their news channel, put it out to all of his speech and debate kids. He's got the applications down there at the high school, so whether they bring those with them or not, or just fill them out here when they come next week, we'll just go from there. So that is going forward. And then the other thing, Monday, I attended chamber luncheon on Monday. They had a great meeting. They had the actual, they had a presentation on the coalition itself and what a great partnership it is, and to be involved with coalitions, and everybody's responsible for prevention workplace. That's usually the first place you see signs of, you know, issues at home, people having them. So anyway, she just brought that to the attention of the workforce in the county, of just another resource for our business community, getting the information out there about that coalition. So, but also the other news with the chamber, they received a grant. They applied for a grant through the governor's economic opportunity office. They received $77,000 this year, and that funding is going to cover the construction of what they're calling an incubator space in the Granary building over in Ephraim. They put their office over there in that building now. They're going to call it Square One, and it's a partnership with Ephraim City, Snow College Small Business Development Center, the Snow College Rural Entrepreneurship Center, and CenterCom. So that building will house their office and be their main hub. It will also create a space for entrepreneurs, startups, and existing businesses to access mentorship training and technical assistance. The facility will also include co-worker and meeting spaces, technology, equipment, workshop areas, and open areas for community events. Square One is a flagship program. The Granary building is small. We already know there is a greater demand for shared office space like this. We hope that this startup program will continue to grow in other cities throughout the county as we are able to expand it in the future. So, Faylin wants to come, probably be on our agenda in March, our first. And I've been talking to her about maybe doing some space like this in Manti and possibly with our Bishop Storehouse, where that's empty and needs some help. It can kind of be a partnership, hopefully. The courts can use it for if they need space for meetings, lawyers, and whatever. And the community can get a, you know, benefit from that as well. So, and like she said, they need more space. She's approached every day about people needing just a little boost to get a business started or just stuff like that. So, very excited for them. The chamber is the best thing the county has done in a long time, in my opinion. But anyway, so I'll get you to get her on the agenda for March, and then she'll come and
very
let
good.
You know more what she wants to do. But
thanks, Jen.
That's it.
Okay.
I don't have anything this evening.
Right, Mary?
I stopped at Manti's newest business the other day.
Poppy's Floral Shop. It's located at 75 South Main Street up here, run by Angela Mielsing, and it's a delightful little shop. She's got flowers, she's got gift items, she's got vases for sale, she's got some other things. She's got limited hours right now. She's got Monday and Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., but she's just delightful. She's super excited to be there. And I was just thrilled to have somebody in there. It's right next door to where the dentist's office is. And so now we do have several flower farms in Manti that sell flowers during the growing seasons, but now we have a place where you can get a bouquet of flowers anytime. And so anyway, so I would encourage everybody to go in and visit with us because it's super cute.
Yeah, especially with Valentine's Day coming in.
Yeah.
All of you,
yeah,
give some support here.
LPC, yes, Legislative Policy Committee meeting. I went to that on Monday, and we talked about, oh my goodness, they talked about, I wrote down 2 pages worth of bills that they were concerned about. A lot of them dealt with property taxes and land use. Some of those, one of those that would have affected the city tremendously, I received word today from our representative that it is off the table now. That's House Bill 167, a good thing. There are some other ones I did contact representative and senator about some of the ones that we were concerned about as a city because of the, it would be preempting cities from doing things and things like that. So it was a very, very good meeting. It lasted a full hour and a half and then a little bit more. And so the people really liked this. So, and I think that's all I have.
Very good. Thanks, Mary. Megan, anything?
Not tonight.
All right. Administrative reports. Jason.
I don't have a lot, excuse me. Just one clarification on the letter to the school district or to the committee, whatever that committee was, that charter committee. So, did I hear correctly? AJ, did you make the motion and you second it again? Did we get a unanimous vote from the council?
Yeah.
My brain was somewhere else. I only heard part of that. No, we did not. Can we get?
We did not what?
Didn't vote.
Okay.
That's why we have Matt over here giving us.
I thought we did.
We did.
Do it again.
We'll do it again.
All right.
All in favor?
Going back to the proposal to put the letter together. We got the first and the second, right?
Yes.
On that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
So I just wanted to make sure our business got cleaned up and our minutes are accurate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. A lot of my report today was going through the capital improvement project list as well as the events that are coming to the community. That's pretty much all I have to report at this time.
Thank you very much. All right, we are at the point on the agenda of any public comment. If any of you would like to make public comment, we ask you to identify yourself and address and keep it to 2 minutes.
Susan Manning, 294 South. 400 East. I spent the day with the legislature today and talked to a lot of legislators and had a meeting with the Speaker of the House. And one thing that I thought Mary would especially be interested in is that he said a lot of towns are misunderstanding when we talk about affordable housing that we're talking about apartments and townhomes. And he said that is not true. We want to see smaller homes on smaller lots, but not necessarily high density apartments and things like that. So I just thought I'd pass that along. Wanted to say welcome to all of the new people. It's great to see all of you and thank you for serving. And I just wondered if we are tracking the revenue that is coming in from Dollar General, not Family Dollar. Or do we know if that's doing what we hoped it would do?
I guess I will ask, are you all out there supporting it?
Good question.
There you go.
Have you been in it?
Yes, I did. I took my Walmart list and my little tab, and I walked through every single aisle doing a comparison shopping.
Thank you.
And what did you find?
I wasn't impressed. I wasn't. I mean, I took my receipt and I walked through every aisle. I thought for things that I'm out of and I need it really quickly, I think it'll be awesome. I do most of my shopping online, which gets you your sales tax. And I do 90% of my grocery shopping online for that very reason, because I want the sales tax to come to them today. I don't go to Walmart very often. So I'm just curious if their revenue is...
I would just reiterate that the more that we can support our local businesses, the better it is for our community, because that sales tax does stay here. And I understand that when you do online shopping, some of that does come back. But it's even better if we do business with our local businesses.
I understand. And how is it doing? What is the revenue coming in? Is it as projected?
It's too early to tell.
It's
sure.
Too early.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
I can tell you that the new Dollar General in Mount Pleasant, from what I understand, is doing a tremendous amount of business, a tremendous amount more business than the one that we have here in Manhattan. So we can certainly do better in support.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm not a local, but I'm running for office, and I just wanted to take an opportunity, if it's possible, to introduce myself. Would it matter if I stood on the side and addressed everyone?
How do we do this, Jason?
A public comment?
This is new. Public comment. I guess you can do what you want for 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm here visiting different communities, coming to town councils. I want to lend my voice in any way possible, whether I'm in office or not, but I'm currently running against Troy Shelley. He is the Republican representative for House District 66, which covers Sanford County and Juvette County. My name is Justin Zahner. I live in Nephi. Basically, my goal is to just lend my voice in the legislature. I have a keen eye on legislation. I've been through a legislative session previously. Mostly, I just want to support local governments and try to get burdensome legislation out of the way to unbind your hands and let you do what you need to do. I want to be involved with locals. I want to hear your complaints, know what is actually bothering you, what actually matters. My general philosophy with legislation is that they should be the least invasive possible, whatever is minimally necessary. No more, no less. I think the state often goes overboard. In best case scenario, trying, well-meaning to be helpful, but I just want to be as involved as possible with everyone locally and try to represent you as best as I can. I do have some cards that I'll hand out later for anyone interested. I've got my phone number, and I'd love to hear from everyone, any of you, and get to know what your needs are and find the best way possible to help you. So, my name is Justin Zahner, and I'm just here to represent in the possible. Thanks.
Thank you for coming.
Perfect.
Good timing.
Yes, Russ Ash, I'm on South 6 West. I guess I should also announce that I am also running for office for the same as the Constitution Party, so. And I find many of your perspectives very much aligned with Constitution Party principles. So, thank you.
Anyone else for public comment? All right, seeing none, we will move on to my comments for the evening. I wanted to mention that last Friday, we had an employee meeting with all of the employees, and Jason took the lead on that, and I thought it was very well done, talking about goals, benefits. He had specialists come in to talk to them about their retirement benefits and health benefits, and then talked about city goals and the things that were most important to the city, identifying what our priorities are, what's most important. And Jason, if I'm not mistaken, I think water was the one that was on everybody's mind. We don't survive without water, and that's one of the reasons we appreciate your prayer today. Thank you. The rural, speaking of water, the Rural Water Association of Utah Annual Conference is coming up on the 25th, 26th of February in St. George, and we have at least a couple of us will be attending that, and Jason will be on the board again, right? Or one of the.
This will be my first year being on the same board.
Okay. Yeah, thank
Who's
you.
Who's all going, Mary? Can I ask? We got a couple guys.
Yes.
Training.
Right, they'll be getting their certifications and training. And I will not be going. I think you, Mary, AJ, are you going?
Mm-hmm.
I will be attending the UMPA APPA meeting that week, so I'll miss it. So I expect you to take good notes for me, because I think that's a great conference down there. I wanted to mention that I attended the UMPA meeting in Spanish Fork last week, and Jason, I don't know if you have... I asked him if he'd pull up a little slide. We talked about water. The UMPA receives energy from multiple sources, and one of them is Lake Powell. And you can see the lines of where the full Lake Powell is and where we are now, which is pretty scary. It's 31 feet lower today than it was last year at this point. And if there is another 20 feet or so that it goes down, they will literally have to turn off the turbines. They had to do a bypass for the smallmouth bass, and when they did that, and I called to ask how long that was, but when they did that, it was a $25 million loss to the ratepayers for that. So there's a huge, and of course hydro is a great energy source because it's clean and turns out so much energy, and if we lose that level and no longer can use the turbines, that'll be a huge loss to us as well as the other participants in that energy source. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because I thought it was pretty interesting. Snowpack in the Upper Basin, they said the water equivalent is 5.7 inches, and normally it's 8.8 inches of water content. So it's we're not in a good spot right now, and hope that the next 2 months will bring us some real good water. I wanted to ask, I was looking, Jason, at the packet calendar, and it identified April 15th as ULCT, I think, and it indicated that the office was closed. And I'm going to, like, at least on my calendar so far, I have the ULCT the following week, so we can check with that, but then, and then the 15th, I would think, would have been one of our scheduled meetings. The other thing I wanted to just double check, because I saw two emails come in at the same time, is on the calendar, May 6th is normally a council meeting for us and would be one of the meetings where we'd be discussing the budget, so it's an important meeting, but that is now the scheduled R6 annual training meeting in Richfield. So I think that we want to attend that R6 meeting. I like to be supportive, and the training that we've attended when we've been there has been really great.
Yeah.
So that would mean we'd need to slip the council meeting to a following week. The other item I was just going to mention is that I, in just the last 3 days, have had 3 contacts about nuisance deer. And so I think we want to maybe just follow up with Corey to see if we still have the traps operational, if we can use those this coming season. When it's a pretty small window.
It's a small window. Yeah.
But there are more people that are having issues with crashes on their cars and the vegetation being eaten, and you know, just the problem seems to be becoming a whole lot more than it has been in the past. There are a lot more resident deer. And the thing that's unfortunate is because when Jason Vernon used to be on the council with us, he said that the resident deer that don't go up to the mountain are really not healthy because they're eating all the wrong stuff down here in the city. So I don't know. It's a hard problem to deal with. And we do have our priorities of water, sewer, electrical, roads when we have limited staff. But that's one thing that we might want to just check into because it's bothering a lot of people more. All right.
Mayor, did you encourage those folks to just reach out to the city office?
They gave me the materials, so I'll pass them along. We will go to item number 12 then, which is I will accept a motion to move into closed session since we do have an item of litigation and personnel that we need to discuss. I will accept a motion to move into closed session.
I will make that motion.
Motion made by Mary Pikes.
I'll second.
And seconded by Jen Chris Jansen. All in favor?
Aye.
Roll call vote. Megan?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
AJ? Jen?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, with that, we will move into closed session. And once again, I thank all of you for attending our city council. I hope you found something that was of interest or informational this evening. But thank you for your interest in Manti City. It takes all of us.
Jason said they were just...